The Frequency 49 show is brought to you by the Niner Empire GB.
Good evening and welcome to the Frequency 49 show. You may have noticed my voice isn't Paul or the Marvelous Cat, and I hope some of you recognise my voice. Anyway, enough about me. Today and this evening, I'm joined by Deepak and Michael Wandai.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing? And that was James Little, by the way. He didn't say his name.
Oh, I never actually said my name. Great. As you can tell, I don't host very often, so we're off to a flyer. Evening, Michael.
Hello from Germany, and you're doing really well.
Yeah. Brilliant. 30 seconds in vote of confidence. Right, guys. Three friends talking football. There's not much been going on with the San Francisco 49ers, has there?
There never is there?
Where should we start? Trey Lance, former third overall pick, traded to the Dallas Cowboys.
I tell you what, James, let's start with what's happened the last 2 years. NFC Championship game. NFC Championship game. So what are we going to do this year?
Straight into it. I think it depends on
I suppose what I mean by that is, you know, is it going to be just good enough for us to make that final NFC Championship game this year, or will making it and losing be considered a failure? Indeed, would making it to the Super Bowl be considered a failure if we don't win it? So, i.e., there's only one outcome. Do we win it all, or is everything else a failure because of the high bar we've set ourselves for the last two seasons with stacked rosters? Okay, we have been formidable, and we still haven't won it. So questions are going to be asked, I think, if we don't win it this year.
Michael?
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, we are still in this championship window, and I think we have to win now, or that window is closing. I mean, next year we will get into that salary cap hell that the Los Angeles Rams already had.
Yeah.
And if they don't restructure some of the big contracts, we will get pretty much nothing next year concerning new players, because we can't afford anything. So I think this year can be all or nothing due to the fact that we have to win.
And again, that really points all the fingers at Mr. Irrelevant, the very last guy in the draft. The whole world is on his shoulders now, because it's because of him we've actually got some money. Could you imagine if...
he was on a quarterback salary. Yeah, he's on He's on the hook for $930,000 this season. That's less than one Nick Bosa game fee.
So it's because of him that we're not paying a big salary. We can free up money to pay for the other guys. And that's a real luxury in this NFL. But then the other thing you've got to look at is, you know, we're going to will with everything we've got that Nick Bosa, coming off his injury, will pick up from where he left off. You know, the question is, will he? We don't know. I really hope he does. And if he does, that is our quarterback situation somewhat addressed. And I say somewhat because there's an injury in anybody on this roster. And we've seen the preseason games. Our second strings do not look good at all.
They don't look up to it. The old adage of next man up frightens the life out of me this season. I'll be honest, I've always been very much of that attitude, next man up. But it does scare me a little bit with this team, because we are so good with our first stringers, first on the depth chart. That on both sides of the ball is
formidable.
Top of the league. Definitely on the defense. Obviously, last year number one defense. But if we get the standard, and let's not pretend it's not going to happen. I've come to expect it. I've conditioned myself to expect the injuries. Unfortunately, the conditioning within the San Francisco 49ers has been questionable for about 15 years. If not longer, you'll tell me more, probably deeper. But, so, like you said, just an interesting point you raised there with the fact that we've got Purdy on such a low wage, will we give Nick Bosa the quarterback money? Because that's what he's asking for.
He's asking for to be the highest paid non-quarterback in his position. And the difference between the highest paid quarterback and the highest non-paid quarterback, I believe right now, is $4 million. That doesn't mean he's waiting on us to give him $4 million. That's just the gap, the differential between the highest paid QB and the highest paid non-QB.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Apparently, to Rappaport, it's the difference between the 49ers and Bosa. That $4 million, Bosa wants $4 million more than the 49ers want to give him.
You see, I didn't read it that way, Michael. I read it this way, that the actual gap between the highest paid quarterback and the highest paid non-quarterback was $4 million. Not that there's $4 million in the actual negotiation with Nick Bosa and Lynch. That was my understanding, because $4 million quid, they just have to pick up their sofa and give it a rattle, and $4 million quid will fall out of it. So I think it's a bit more involved, the negotiations going on. But again, let's just rewind a little bit when Jimmy Garoppolo got injured. Okay. Trey got injured. Jimmy got injured. And then we thought our season was over, because who the F is Brock Purdy, right? Now, if everything had gone to script and Purdy was indeed the very last draft pick for a reason, and that was our season over, we would be having an entirely different conversation today. So lots of improbable things have happened, loads of them. And I think this is the fun part of being three guys talking football, is we're talking about things and the exact opposite could happen, or perhaps the next level of what we couldn't believe possible could just explode. It's so unpredictable and so random. But I do agree with you, James. I think the superficialness of our squad, and what I mean by that is the on-paper depth, is absolutely terrifying. But you don't really have to take one layer of paint away to see how weak it is beneath that veneer. And we're going to have to pray that our starters stay healthy and Brock picks up from where he left off. Because, Sam Darnold might do a hell of a job if Purdy gets injured. He may not. We don't know. It's the not knowing that kills you, It's...
Yeah.
It's going to be hearts and mouths, mouths times, boys.
It's the hope that kills you. That's what it is. It's the hope. Yeah. And when you get a player like Brock Purdy, who give us hope. I mean, let's be honest. None of us expected what happened last year. And some people expect what could have happened last year to happen this year. And some people expect us to go on and win it all. So it's exactly that what you've just said, Deepak. That's why we love this sport so much.
He's also got a target on his back. If you take out our quarterback, we are ineffectual. Seattle will be going after him. The Rams will be going after him. Even the Cardinals are going to have a go at hurting him, because the NFC West is more or less a two-team division. Okay, literally two teams will make the playoffs. It'll be either us and Seattle, us and the Rams, or dare I say it, the Rams and Seattle. But it's two teams. Arizona are not going to feature in that. So
no.
If you take our advantage away, our Brock Purdy, then we are done for.
Which brings us on to the people who protect Brock. That's my biggest concern going into this season. Out of anything on our team, is those guys who have charged to look after quarterbacks. And we all know that in recent years, they haven't done a very good job of that.
I don't fear the starting five. As long as the starting five guys are on the field, we don't have a problem. It's the guys behind them. I fear when guys like Nick Feliciano or Nick Sekely, or how he's spelled, come in, and then we have a problem, because that's the starting offense is okay. The starting defense is okay. The backup defense players are okay as well. It's the problem is the backup offense players, and especially the backup
offensive line. Agreed.
That's the problem. I mean, look at the preseason. Sam Darnold looked really good, and how many plays were called back because of offense line errors? Especially Feliciano had in one game three holdings after another, And we had to go off field after that. And such mistakes you can't do, can do in a preseason game, but not in a regular season game. And that's the greatest problem I have. Our backup offensive line. And the other problem I have is who is doing the contract negotiations with Bosa, because as I know, Parag Marase is now on your aisle, is now president of Leeds. So who is a money maker right now? And
we don't know.
Marase could get the guys to sign, but who is working for him, his job now?
I also think that we need to mention another important component of our team, and that is special teams. Robbie Gould is gone. Our kickers are injured. Yep. Now what?
We have just brought in another kicker, but I truly believe that Jake Moody, there you go. First mentioned on the podcast, and I've got his name wrong. I do think he will be good to go. It's just mind games. We'll have this every week going forward this season. We will have doubts, and then come game day, they do suit up and play. Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not so sure. In the long term season, we will see whether that's the case, because we've seen Debo do it, we've seen Kittle do it. Now, obviously, kickers aren't, you know, well, they are important. I think they're incredibly important in this league. We've been blessed for many years to be very fortunate with kickers, even before Robbie. We've had solid kickers for, I think, about 10 years. When we've, you know, Deepak, you love the saying, sevens, not threes. But that was always because the threes were pretty much guaranteed. Yeah, now, this season, are we going to be saying seven, threes? Any points will do. Do you know what I mean? But I think Moody will be good to go.
I think the we've pulled in a kicker for Sunday, and I think he used to kick for Pittsburgh, so he's sort of familiar with, what is it? It's not Heinz Field, it's something else.
It is now called, hang on, you've caught me, the Acrisure Stadium.
James, do you know what I used to know their stadium as? It doesn't exist anymore, but I've always known it as Three Rivers Stadium. That's when I started watching. Yeah, there were some very bad men who played for the Steelers in those years. Very bad men. But again, you know, I still don't think we're there. Now we can talk about the two elephants in the room, the Trey Lance thing, because we've set the stage, and then the Nick Bosa thing, because the two are critical at this point. So the Trey Lance thing.
Yeah. Go on, Michael. Michael's a massive Trey Lance fan. Now's your chance, my friend. Go on. Tell us what happened.
I'm not a Trey Lance fan. Definitely not. But I think the problem is Trey Lance was at the wrong time at the right team. I have to explain that. He is a project quarterback, and at a team that would be in rebuild, he would be perfect. He could learn. He could do his thing. But as we are in a championship window, the problem is the Niners didn't have the time to develop him. And he was too slow to learn the things he had to learn, while, for example, Brock Purdy was really quick learning everything he needed to know for the Shanahan offense. And I think in the end, we fumbled the ball with the three first-round picks. I still say, and I know I told you guys in WhatsApp, I still think we would have gotten him for the 12th pick overall.
I agree.
Wouldn't have needed the third overall. But, there we fumbled. But overall, I think it was just a bad timing situation. And now he has, with Dallas, he still is third quarterback, but the starting quarterback in Dallas plays the same style of football he plays.
Yeah.
And that's not the Shanahan style of football. It's Shanahan likes a pocket passer that can move. And in Dallas, they like a mobile quarterback that can pass. And that's for him, it's better to go to Dallas than playing for the 49ers at the moment. And Brock at the moment is a right quarterback for the Shanahan offense. He can move, but he is mostly a pocket passer.
Yeah. So just to follow up on a point you made there, I read something very interesting on Twitter, and it was, if Trey Lance was a quarterback getting drafted in the first round in this league 10, 15 years ago, more than likely he would have sat behind a veteran for two or three seasons, a la Aaron Rodgers, for instance. And if that was the case, like you've just said there, I think he could be a massive success in this league if that was the way things were done nowadays, but they're not. And also, I think the major reason we've traded him is they can tell me all they like, it's because they've gone and give Trey a chance elsewhere. He deserves to make a success. I think ultimately it's because he was on the hook for $9.5 million this season. $9.5 million for a third string quarterback in the NFL is just... He's coming off injury.
He's also exactly. coming off injury. So I think I agree with you, James. I think it was the $9.5 million bit that scared them into getting rid of him. But what Michael says is also true. I think he was the right quarterback at the wrong time. The NFL is about winning now. Okay. There is no let's groom this kid, because you need a steady number one who's gonna do everything. But that number two has got to take off from where number one left off. And Trey just couldn't do it. He had six games and then he got hurt and that was the end of it. You know, now I don't know if he'll be successful in Dallas or not. I personally hope he isn't, because I hate Dallas so much.
I agree.
Know.
Sorry, Trey.
So nothing personal. I just hate Dallas. But this is an interesting conversation, because the question I want to ask both of you is, did we get enough in return for him?
No.
No, but as you said, I think it's a money thing. I don't think the 49ers looked at picks at the moment. The Niners looked at, as you said, to get rid of the $10 million. And I think that was the best thing they could do with his contract. I mean, if they maybe would have restructured his contract so he would have got less this year, then maybe we would have gotten more picks. But I think for what he costs as a third-string quarterback, as you said, that was the best thing we could get.
Is
he third string in Dallas, or is he second?
Yeah.
Cooper Rush is number two at the moment, because Cooper Rush knows the offense. The Cowboys know they can put in Cooper Rush when Dak is injured and he keeps the team alive. Cooper Rush was a main reason for the Cowboys last season to even have the chance to make Philly look behind them at the last regular season game, because Cooper Rush kept the Dallas Cowboys in the run.
Just to pick up on your point with his contract, I'm pretty sure it's much more complicated to restructure rookie contracts. Whether they're actually able to do that is another... I honestly don't know. Mark Lyon would probably be able to tell me. He'd know off the top of his head. But I don't think you can restructure rookie contracts for a period of time. Again, I don't know that with all certainty. And I'm sure if they probably offered him half that contract, he may have thought about staying. But I think they were offered a fourth-round pick by Jerry Jones, and they had $9.5 million cap space that they could instantly save. And I think in their mind, they went, okay, we'll give that $9.5 million to Nick. And that they were probably confident at the time that that would have all been wrapped up and Nick Bosa would have been training with the team for a couple of weeks. Obviously, we now know that that's transpired. That isn't the case.
But I think that's what they were thinking. Unwittingly, Dallas is a team that's hot rumoured to be interested in Nick Bosa right now.
If they do that, I'm going to stop watching the NFL.
The Jets obviously already contacted the 49ers about Nick Bosa.
The Jets?
Yeah, the Jets. I've seen rumors.
Their head coach pretty much knows Nick Bosa.
He does. He knows he should do. would he want to play in New York? You know, I'm getting the feeling that the money's more important than the winning, because it could happen. He stays. He won't be poor by any stretch of the imagination. He'll have generational wealth. His great grandkids will be wealthy. So I don't know what the problem is. I think it's greed now.
I
think it's greed.
Yeah. whether that's his greed or the agent's greed, we won't know. We'll never know. I think that's always a factor as well. I will be honest. I'm extremely, as it stands, I'm very disappointed in Nick Bosa because when we drafted him, it was a no-brainer. That's the only no-brainer NFL
first
pick.
It was a no-brainer.
He comes from a footballing family, and the reason I'm disappointed in him is exactly what you just said. It now appears to us fans that it's become about money, whereas when we drafted the kid, he comes from a footballing family who know the NFL. His brother plays in the NFL. His father was in the NFL. I can't remember for a short period. They've been around the league of professional football. He's been around the league and professional football his entire life. And now it looks to us that it's more about money than putting his cleats on, getting on that field with that team on Sunday and starting the season for a Super Bowl run. Now,
that's also genetic, James, because his great grandfather was a mafia boss, so the money is in the blood too.
Brilliant stat. There you go. When you look at the
drafting history of Lynch and Shanahan, he is one of only two first round picks we picked that worked out so far. And Ayuk worked out. Kinlaw is almost a bust. Reuben Foster, we don't talk about anymore. Solomon Thomas is gone. Trey Lance is gone. I mean, Nick Bosa and Ayuk are the only first round picks that worked out under Shanahan and Lynch. But a lot of fifth and sixth rounders worked out under them.
Well, exactly. That's how they're still in the job, isn't it? Let's be real. It's not because of their first. It's the gems with the Fred Warners and George Kittle.
Is Lynch been lucky with these picks? Like a savvy general manager, when you look a little bit closer under the hood, you think, well, hang on. He's frittered away every first round pick we've had. Three on Trey Lance and only two of them to be half decent so far. I mean, really?
I mean, I would buy that if he did it once, but he's done it. George Kittle, Fred Warner, Hufanga, to name three. So,
but equally with the first rounders. What about the first rounders you just named?
There's two. There's Ayuk and Bosa, isn't there? I mean, Kinlaw.
And then Solomon. Yeah. These are a sure thing than a fifth round tight end, you know, or a seventh round lineman. You know, the first rounders are your sure things, and he's never, ever right, apart from those two.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, so that's why I think it is win or bust, because these things matter. These things are talked about when they're looking at performance review. What's he done with our draft choices? What is the state of our franchise? Where are we going to be in two seasons' time? Will we be able to sustain the team and the roster that we've got and the talent that we've got? The answer is no. To retain
the finance, because the finances.
Exactly.
That's why this season is. It is. Which brings us on to a poll that Michael put on for us. So the question was, make or break season for Kyle. Now you haven't included John on that, so we'll just go for Kyle Shanahan, the head coach. 54% said no if we reach the playoffs. 29% said yes, we're all or nothing. 12% said not even close. That means no playoffs, job safe. And 14% of people had no opinion. 14% of people didn't care enough. Be better. But no, in all seriousness, I think we are all. I'm all or nothing person. I think. No, that's not true, is it? I think if we get to the NFC Championship game, he'll definitely get another season.
But is that a success? Would you consider that to be a success if we're there and lose again, three in a row? That's three in a row. It's not like his first one in 5 years.
Yeah.
If it's his first one in 5 years, give him a 15-year extension or whatever, but this will be his 3-3. Is that good enough? If we win the Super Bowl and we lose, he may have one more shot, I think. Okay.
What do you think? I don't know if I could take that again.
But here's, I've always said this about Shani, and I've said it to you guys off the record. So, I don't think he's a head coach. I think greatest offensive coordinator in the NFL. I truly don't think he's coach material, head coach material.
Yeah, you have stuck by that for years, to be fair.
I think the greatest the greatest problem is
by far the most brightest offensively minded genius in the league, best OC by far. But head coach, I think he's got a lot of gaps that he needs to fill in order to go down as one of the greats. But then if he wins a Super Bowl this year, he will become the greats, you know, just by default.
He will. Which brings us, you on about him, Carl, you know, you stick him in your statement, Carl's not necessarily a head coach. Well, our new defensive coordinator actually was a head coach for 8 or 9 games last season. I think it was in Carolina, wasn't it? Steve
South
Wilkes.
Carolina.
It was Carolina. Steve Wilkes, our new defensive coordinator. So has he brought someone in who's replaced D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh before him? Has he brought in someone else with that in mind, with, you know, with another experience? Well, he's an experienced coach. I know we have experienced coaches on the roster. We've got a guy I'm a big fan of, the ex-Chargers head coach, Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn. I like that guy. I liked him, you know, from what I saw at the Chargers. So he's got these two experienced guys who have been around the leagues, been in coordinator positions and been in head coaching positions. So perhaps, you know, that's what he does.
He's a good coach, that guy from South Carolina, Wilkes. He's a decent coach. They love him there. Now, you can argue that college is not the same as the NFL, but he's a shaper of men. He's got a really the most talent-stacked defense in the NFL, and he's got to get those guys to play for him. And I think he can do that because he's a college coach.
He's different to our other two, though. He sits up and watches the game up in the stands. So we're not going to see him on the sidelines motivating. Yeah, exactly. So that'll be down to the position coaches, and we all know, and we've seen the videos, they are more than capable of doing that. So it's going to be slightly different.
I want to see our DC on the sideline, you know, banging helmets and smashing them on the pads when they've made a good play. I want to see that.
Steve Wilkes will watch the game from up in the stands.
I would have given Kurek the job and not Steve Wilkes. Yeah, he is definitely more experienced than Saleh or D'Amico were. But what D'Amico and Saleh made up was their enthusiasm.
Yeah.
They pushed the defense forward with their enthusiasm. And now we have a no-show as defensive coordinator. And the guy who has had the most impact on the team almost went with D'Amico because he thought he was in line for defensive coordinator, Kukurek.
Yep.
Linebackers coach. They should have made him a DC this season. And I fear if we again don't win the title, we will lose him because he gets a better job anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's always been our problem. That's how we lost the last two. You know, they got so good at their job that
Chris Kurek, that too. I couldn't think of his first name, Michael. Yeah, defensive line coach. Just the 19 years experience with that gentleman. And then they've brought in Steve Wilkes ahead of him. But that's not to say that Chris Kurek, I can't say his name, apologies. Let's call him Chris. It's not to say that he can't be the D'Amico Ryans or the Robert Saleh on the sidelines. I think that's what we will see. Certainly, I've already seen clips from last season, and mainly Bosa. The chemistry of him and Bosa was phenomenal. I'm hoping he needs to pick up the phone to Nicholas and say, "Come on, mate, we've got a game on Sunday." So it's different. We're going to see. It is going to be different, and we're going to see a lot of shots up. You know, of the coordinator sat next to Greg Papa. No, I'm only joking. They don't sit together. But there'll be those sorts of shots this season as opposed to just solely based on our sideline. But, you know, we've still got, as with the playing squad and the roster, the heart of the coaching team, just scrolling through, to be honest with you, on the website. Just a quick one while we're on coaches. Did you guys watch the Brick for Brick documentaries on YouTube?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, there's a coach, linebackers coach, Johnny Holland. What a great guy he was. And unfortunately, actually, he went through a cancer battle last season and season four. But again, his connection with Fred Warner, we've got these coaches, we've connections with these instrumental players in our team, which carry us through games, mainly on the defensive side of the ball from what I saw. So I'm expecting the same again. Even with or without Nick Bosa, we've got to be up there for defense. So that's, unless anyone else has got any more off-season roster-based questions, should we look ahead to the weekend?
Yeah.
Well, let's look ahead. Yeah, let's do that.
So we have got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Acrisure Stadium, as aforementioned by Deepak earlier. The last time we played them, we won 24-20 in September 2019. Now, I've just got a couple of notes here. I don't know much about the Steelers. I'll hold my hands up. I don't know much about them. I know their head coach is a fantastic head coach. He's been there for a number of years and got that team into the playoffs despite some pretty awful-looking rosters. So I think coaching as a team, that they are going to be well-coached and well-drilled. I think we know that. But they are a young team. Their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, played last year, and he had 7 touchdowns with 9 interceptions with a QBR rating of 76.7, which, to put that into comparison, Brock Purdy had a similar sample size and blitzed that QBR rating and touchdown ratio. Mm-hmm. They've got a young, sprightly running back, Najee Harris, who they're expecting big things of him this season. We may see them put the ball on his back and try and run the ball against us. Let's hope we're as effective as we was last season in stopping the run. And they've got this wide receiver called Pickens. And that there, gentlemen, is what I know about the Steelers.
Can I just jump in?
Go on. Yeah, of course.
Adam Schefter, source. Nick Bosa has agreed to a 5-year, $170 million extension with the San Francisco 49ers, including $122.5 million guaranteed by a wide margin.
Breaking news from Michael Wando on the Frequency 49 show. That is brilliant news, my friend. I'm reading it also. 32 seconds ago, Nick Bosa signed deal. Holdout is over.
5 years, yeah?
5-year deal, $170 million deal. The reigning defensive player of the year becomes the highest paid pass rusher in the NFL. Some could argue well deserved. Some might have a bit of an issue with the financial side.
Okay, so I'm going with this. I reckon Lynch must have seen somewhere on the internet that I'd written, give him his day, $5 million. And if he says no, tell him to go F himself and write in Tennessee. No, I'll take the money. It's okay. That's good.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is Deepak claiming credit for Nick Bosa signing his deal. So,
no, seriously, I think there's an element of that. I think they'd have said, take it or shove it, mate. You can write in Tennessee. We're not giving you any more. I think that's what they said. They're paying him too much anyway, you know.
Yeah.
It was, but this is the NFL, and it's not like our football where they're embarrassed about the money. The money is up front here. This is a greedy game. Play who perhaps are greedy, but they're controlled by agents who absolutely are greedy, you know. And the NFL doesn't apologize. Should we expect it? You know, I think that's important. We shouldn't expect the NFL to apologize. But yeah, this is great news. So I'm assuming he'll be ready to play on Sunday.
I blooming hope so after that amount of money, mate. I'm assuming he is.
But that means, last I heard, Kittle is out. We're not playing, not ready for Sunday.
Ooh, now you're putting me on the spot, mate. Now we're going to hope that Nick Bosa plays. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for a monster game for Nick Bosa. I'm gonna be honest. I think now that he's playing, now that he's got his money, if he's as fit as they say he is, and as ready as they say he is, from my very limited knowledge of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that young quarterback they've got under center should be very afraid. However, that being said, there is another amazing pass rusher on the opposite side of the ball in TJ Watt. And the thing that worries me is that TJ Watt rushes from the right-hand side, not the left.
Right.
So I wasn't ready for that, Michael. So there you go. We've had some breaking news. It's just completely turned the show on the head, but that's good news. What do you guys think is going to happen on Sunday?
Well, I just want to talk a little bit. It's a $5 million deal, $170 million, right?
Yeah, 5-year deal. Yeah.
This will be the first of his two big contracts in his career. Okay.
Okay.
So think about that. He'll sign this one, and then after, going to have another big, big money. Might not be as much as this, but it's going to be a big money deal. If he didn't play, pulled out, and let's just say he's not playing, that's one less game for him to hold a sack record or become a defensive player of the year. And that is one less thing he gets to put on his CV for when he bangs about a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
Round of negotiations are up. I think something like that would also have been a factor in him wanting to commit, because he's like, I don't want to be between the devil and the deep blue sea and not play for two games because it's killing his stats.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, did you say the devil in the deep blue sea or the devil in Tennessee?
No, the devil in the deep blue sea, not the devil in Tennessee. It's Tennessee. It's a nice place. I've been there. It's nice. I suggest visit, actually. It's good. But you definitely want Bosa on your team playing for you than not on it. And that's what we've got for Sunday. And I think it's a huge lift. We've not even talked about Christian McCaffrey. Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Brendan Ayuk, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? Debo Samuel, is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Or what is he? So many different things that Kyle can do, so many new plays he would have designed, and so much experience that those guys have now got with working under Kyle Shanahan. I think our offense is going to win this game for us. Usually it's the D, but I think our offense will take care of business on Sunday. I'm going for a good win. I'm thinking two scores, a touchdown. I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Michael?
What?
Sorry, what do you think? You okay? What do you think the score is going to be on Sunday? I'll put you on the spot for a score.
For a score, I say we will win 21-20.
Okay.
Close game.
Michael with a close game.
But, you know, it could be a low-scoring game. Pittsburgh at home are really difficult to beat. Their fans are bonkers. And it's to make it even worse.
Yeah.
So it's not a gimme. This game is going to be tough. But I think if we can get a bit of separation, if we can get their offense to punt on the first couple of possessions and we can establish something on the ground, take control like Shanahan does his Anaconda move. He could game and then he softens it up and then he goes to kill. But that's something we haven't seen one of Shanahan's teams do in all the time he's been here. I've never absolutely pelt somebody until the point that there's no life left in them. He's always kept an in for the other team to get back into the game. Yeah. And I don't like seeing that. And I think he needs to be more ruthless.
Yeah. Okay.
There is something James forgot when he talked about the coach, Coach Tomlin.
Tomlin, that was his name.
The Steelers never had a losing season under Coach Tomlin.
That's right. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, just to give him a little bit of credit, that's quite a record for a guy who lost Roethlisberger a few years ago.
Yeah. Shanahan is 3-3, and it's 52-48. So, just for comparison.
And also, Tomlin has a ring. He's not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And the thing I don't understand, one of my very good friends, you'll see his nonsense on my Facebook wall all the time. He's a huge Steelers fan and he absolutely cannot stand Tomlin. He thinks he's garbage. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with you, man? He goes, he's so conservative. He coaches like a pussy. He's afraid of winning. He's afraid of losing than he is of wanting to win. I'm like, really? That's not the impression that I get. The impression that he's a very bright, you know, man who has the respect of his team, you know, and he guides them. He's a leader, a proper leader. And they went, but that's football games. And I'm like, then it dawned on me, I'm actually talking to a Steelers fan, so bollocks is their first language, you know.
Fair enough. Okay. So,
yeah.
Right then, gents. Well, that's the first show of the season in the books. I apologise if there's any mishaps or anything. It's the first time I've had a go at hosting it. I'm sure as the season goes on, if I do this more, it will get better. It's just been an incredible pleasure to talk football with Michael and Deepak. Let's hope it's all recorded and uploaded so you guys can hear as well. if you want to get involved or be on the show at all, just get in touch with myself or any of the admins at the Niner Empire GB Facebook group. Please don't be shy. We know that we've got listeners from various places in the world. So please get in touch if you want to be on the show, if you want to ask us a question or anything of those sorts. So that's it. See, episode one, season nine.
I got one, James.
Go on, then.
This is quite important. And everybody who's listening to this, we truly appreciate and thank you for taking the time out to listen to our ramblings and our ravings, and hopefully you enjoy what we're doing. However, this comes at a considerable expense, you know, cheap for us to keep doing this. So every year we do ask you guys to try and give a little bit, whatever it is that you can. I know it's difficult, and we absolutely hate asking you for it, but we need your support in order for us to keep going with this podcast. We really need you to make a small contribution. We're not asking for the earth. And if you can't, you know, that's fine too. There's absolutely no force or pressure on anybody. But if you feel that you have a little bit and you could perhaps contribute, I'm going to put up a link on our Facebook page, and it will have an opportunity for you to give a little something if you can. If you can't, you know, we still love you. We still truly appreciate you listening to us. And we, as James said, would dearly love you even more to get involved with what, with any ideas you may have, or if you feel like helping out or being a regular on the show, contact any of us, and you know, we can actually make that happen. We don't have a massive hierarchical structure here for now, but there is absolutely no reason for anyone to think that they're not important or they're not part of what we do. So please, if you can, try and give something. I will leave a link on our page once this podcast has been published. So that's really what I wanted to say. And again, thank you to everyone who listens to our show. We have a great time making it. We love doing it. The whole DNA of our group is about the Frequency 49. This is what we were here for. We became something more, but that's okay. But this is our DNA. So please help us keep it alive. Okay. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I heard when they reach 1,000 quids, you see people, James doing videos of them doing the Ted Lasso running man for you. Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what, James? Do you know what? I had an idea. We could do a forfeit. If we raise our goal, maybe we should do something stupid on camera for everybody as an incentive for people to donate. And that,
as long as it doesn't involve wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey or anything.
Or his hat, yeah. And cool. You're listening, but doesn't mean you're not included, because you are, my friend. You are most definitely included.
Right then, gents. It's only left to say thank you very much for listening. It's goodbye from me.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me. And thank you, James. You did a splendid job. You're fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed the show with you.
I say it in Germany, gute Nacht und guten Abend, and you did a very good job, James.
Yeah, excellent.
We'll see when we listen. When I listen back. Right, thank you very much, and we're out.
Okay. Oh.